WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It is Christmas week. Ho, ho, ho. Happy post-Hanukkah to everyone. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Christmas. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. The Ravens have qualified for the playoffs. We have qualified to give away Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. We're going to be doing this at Wise Markets on Monday of this week. We have the Unwrap the Cash. We have the Scented Oh Snap. These were a big hit because they're small and they smell like gingerbread and they've had a lot of winners. Our friends at Peppermint Payouts as well. The Maryland Lottery sponsoring us along with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I've got the shirt on. I am not a certified master installer. I just play one on the radio and add on the web. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube. My little orange light's on. I've got to get to the Jiffy Lube. I almost went to the one at York Road across from Foreign Daughter on Friday night, but I ran out of time. We had a great conversation with Gina Schock, Michael Bronfine, and Wendy Bronfine from Curio. Incredible educational series and segment we did, as well as learning about laundry detergent and getting the stink out of your stank with our friend Drew Westervelt from Hex, a former, not Hex, the department store, Hex, H-E-X, lacrosse player who has a local product that that makes my stuff smell good after I'm all sweaty from Planet Fitness. Luke Jones joins us now. The Ravens get a little extra time here to enjoy the holiday and enjoy the ham and enjoy the turkey and enjoy the eggnog and all that stuff. We have praised Lamar Jackson. The Ravens are 11-3. They're qualified for the playoffs. They're headed to Santa Clara, which really isn't San Francisco, and it's not really San Jose, and it's certainly not Oakland, out in the Bay Area on Monday night for Christmas night. Got a lot of football between here and there. One thing we know, this will be the marquee matchup for the entire league through the weekend. We'll be talking about that. But who's going to run the ball? And the injury to Keaton Mitchell, very unfortunate. Luke, I mentioned last segment, like sort of like a body bag game. Every game, it's, you know, it's Marcus Williams or it's Kyle Hamilton last week or it's Ronnie Stanley or it's Keaton Mitchell. Certainly the Keaton Mitchell injury is going to elevate Melvin Gordon. It's going to put a bigger spotlight on Gus Edwards. And the offensive line and how that synergy between Ronnie Stanley, J.K. Dobbins, Mark, and all the guys that aren't here anymore and all the guys that aren't coming back. And Ronnie Stanley might come back, but he ain't going to be Ronnie Stanley the rest of the way. I think that's pretty obvious.
Well, he hasn't been Ronnie Stanley most of the season, really. But start with Keaton Mitchell. I mean, first of all, you feel for the kid, as you know, his father very well, Super Bowl 35 champion, Anthony Mitchell, has been such a great story, but they're going to miss his production. You look at Sunday night's game and they finished with 251 rushing yards. So you say, okay, well, their concerns about the running game can't be that, you know, can't be that serious. But when you consider that 97 yards for Lamar Jackson on 12 carries, and you mentioned in a previous segment, 12 carries feels a little on the high side compared to what we've seen with Lamar this year. There weren't 12 design runs. Look, go back and look at how many of those were scrambles because either no one was open downfield or the pocket was just breaking down time and time again. So, you know, you look at that, Lamar running the ball is still a great thing, is still wildly productive and wildly efficient and wildly explosive. Maybe not as explosive as it was 4 or 5 years ago, but you get the point. But the other home run hitting element that they've really come to appreciate over the last month and a half to 2 months has been Keaton Mitchell. I mean, he averaged 8.1 yards per carry on Sunday night. You look at what he's done for the season. I mean, this kid has carried the ball 47 times and he's averaged 8.4 yards per carry. And I get it. 47 times isn't a season's worth of a workload, but it's not nothing either. So to now subtract that, and boy, I mean, the knee injury, that did not look good. And that was one of those where you didn't even want to go back and look at the replay because he just went down in a heap. So you worry, and look, I mean, we'll find out the diagnosis. You know, J.K. Dobbins, we never really got the details until much, much, much later. But that's one of those where you look at the timing of the season, it's already getting to be late December. You wonder if he's going to be ready for next year. I mean, that's what's just so heartbreaking for the kid. And it's a bad loss for this offense in terms of wanting to have another home run hitting element. We talked about this back in week one when they lost J.K. Dobbins. We said it at the time. You know, it didn't mean their Super Bowl hopes were dashed. And I'm not at all implying that in losing Mitchell that their Super Bowl hopes are you know, severely impacted by this. But it impacts it. It hurts their chances just because of what we've said, they've had so many different ways that they've been able to win football games when you're not firing on all cylinders, which is most weeks. You're not going to play perfect football most weeks. Keaton Mitchell is a difference maker. He's the kind of guy that's been a home run hitter for them. So to lose that, and then you look at the rest of their backfield, I mean, Gus Edwards, he has 11 touchdowns. I get it. I'm not saying he's having a bad season, but weeks 1 through 9, 4.4 yards per carry. Since week 10, 3.5 yards per carry. Justice Hill gives you a little more of a speed element and maybe can, we've seen him break some runs from time to time, but not at the rate that Keaton Mitchell was doing this. And, you mentioned Melvin Gordon. I mean, Melvin Gordon's been out there really for 2 years now for anyone to take. I mean, he's been on the Ravens practice squad all year. Running backs have gotten hurt around the league. No one's come calling. So it's not to say he can't help, but is he going to be anything close to what Keaton Mitchell has been able to give them? And for me, it wasn't what Keaton Mitchell's done to this point, Nestor. It's what you could envision him doing the rest of the way, especially if you get into January football games where it's windy or cold or rain or snow, and you've got this kid who is just flies. He's so fast. So it's a major disappointment. And then when you couple that with what you mentioned, which concerns with the offensive line, quite frankly. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Ronnie Stanley, I know he left the game late. They're going to check him out as far as concussion protocol potentially, but he's not playing like Ronnie Stanley. I mean, the Ravens are rotating their offensive tackles, which, by the way, I don't think is a bad idea, but it's a major reflection of where they are at those two positions right now that you're talking that you would even consider to say, well, Patrick McCurry spelling Ronnie Stanley for two or three series is a good thing. Daniel Faalele spelling Morgan Moses for a couple series is a good thing. Now, I mean, that just tells you where those guys are, first and foremost, health-wise. And I want to continue to point that out, but also where they are ability-wise right now, where you don't have the full confidence that they can hold up for 65 or 70 plays, or heaven forbid you have more than that and you go into overtime. It's something that's a concern. And as much as Lamar Jackson played terrific football on Sunday night and really masked some of those issues, their pass protection was not good. And I mean, you look at San Francisco and the defensive line that they have. You look at some other team, like a Cleveland potentially coming into Baltimore in the second round, as put Joe Flacco aside, that Browns front, what that can mean and the challenges that can present. So, they need their offensive line to protect Lamar Jackson better. And it's so odd because they go back and forth. And Sunday was a great example of this. There were some times where Lamar had all day. Right. I mean, there were times where he's just standing back there and no one was getting open downfield. So there you say, okay, well, the coverage on the back end or the wide receiver separating, the play call, whatever it is, there are times where the protection's okay. And then there are other times where the protection's just awful. So it's kind of been a feast or famine in that regard regarding this offensive line. But certainly when you talk about this team and its longevity as it pertains to making a deep run in January, getting to a Super Bowl, everything they want to do and everything they can do. They certainly, you look at the offensive line and specifically at the tackle positions, that's a concern at this point. I don't know how anyone can dismiss that. Doesn't mean they can't overcome that. And I mean, my goodness, we think back to a few years ago, Kansas City got to a Super Bowl with their offensive line completely ravaged by injuries. Now, Tampa Bay finally made them pay for it in the Super Bowl. The point is, you can overcome those things, but losing Keaton Mitchell, that's such a non-Lamar element of your running game that you're so going to miss the rest of the way. And again, Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses, this rotation, again, I don't disagree with it. But the fact that you need to do this, the fact that you feel compelled to do this, that doesn't lend a ton of confidence for your O-line's ability to hold up in protection the rest of the way. And even with Lamar back there, you certainly don't want to be putting him in harm's way. You love his ability to get away, but you'd rather him not have to exercise that quite as frequently as he has here of late.
The one thing about the passing game in the Jaguars is that they had a lot of communication problems last week. They had a lot of different players in the backside. That they didn't throw the ball better is a little bit disconcerting. And I don't know that we saw enough of Zay Flowers or enough of OBJ. Didn't see him much of the game. And then we saw him with the massager on his leg later in the game. But the fact that he ran so much and it felt like he threw so much because they wanted to throw, right? They get back in a pro set. He's patting the ball. The you know, ring around the rosy's happening. He's trying to escape the pocket. All of it looks so much different than it looked 5 years ago. And the effectiveness of it is really set up by the run game, right? I mean, to your point, this 8 yards per run that some of the – I mean, all of their running backs going back to 19 in the Lamar system have had pretty gaudy yards per carry. I mean, Gus was that guy a couple of years ago as well when he's the fourth quarterback. I do find it a little disconcerting that they keep losing pieces, right? Mark Andrews, lose Keaton Mitchell, Ronnie Stanley. They've been battling that the whole time, but whether McCary's on the left side, the right side, Falele, if you really think he's ready to play four quarters of football, if they needed him to in a playoff game, I don't know. It would start to look like the Bengals or the Chiefs with beaten up offensive lines in January. They're starting to get to the point where there's some attrition here though, right? When you get to January and you're like, no Andrews, no Keaton Mitchell. How are they going to beat the 49ers this week? How are they going to score with the Dolphins 2 weeks from now? It's going to take skill position players, not named Jackson, even though he was successful in Jacksonville the other night. Maybe they named the town after him, but I don't know that Melvin Gordon has breakaway speed. Certainly Gus Edwards doesn't. That was something that the home run speed that Keaton Mitchell had is something that they're just not going to have right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just and again, it's, you know, you look at the overall numbers. It's not as though this kid was on his way to rushing for 1,200 yards. We know that it's been something that he came on late, you know, came off IR, had the injury back in the preseason. But again, you're talking about your ceiling in terms of what you can do down the stretch, what you can do in January. And you're going to miss that element. It doesn't mean this you can't overcome it, but. It just, for me, it feels like that's going to put more on Lamar, which, hey, you have a $52 million a year quarterback. That's how it works. Kansas City right now. I mean, there's so much talk on the pressure on Patrick Mahomes because they basically have Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice. And that's about it, you know, in terms of pass catchers that they remotely trust. And the latter's a rookie who is just now getting a certain trust level. So, I mean, this is how it works. And it's dirty little secret is it's only going to get worse in that regard, because in the coming years, when Lamar is making more money and you do have less flexibility at other positions, it puts more on the quarterback. We saw this with Joe Flacco, the second half of his Ravens tenure compared to the first. I mean, it's how it works. It's not a knock on your quarterback or the team or anything like that. It's the reality of the salary cap. So, but losing Mitchell, it's just, that's one that it hurts. I mean, it does, just in terms of just having another way that you can find big plays. And you know what's interesting, and you made mention of this, and it really goes back to what you were talking about in our, you know, previous conversation. I mean, this is a team that, unlike Greg Roman, and we can debate Lamar's play from the pocket and what he does as a passer now compared to 4 years ago and all of that. I mean, you go round and round with that debate, as you and I have so many times for years. But I think what you look at where Todd Monken is as a play caller, I mean, this is a team, when you look at the game situation being neutral, meaning, you know, you're not playing with a lead like they were in the second half, where they obviously leaned very heavily into their running game. But when it's a, you know, first half, look at the pass run splits, first down, where, you know, under Greg Roman, that was run on first down. They're really not that. They really don't do that. They're a team that throws a lot on first down, which is much more of a modern day analytics approach to offense. You know, you throw on first down to set up second and short or third and short, and then you don't overthink it. Second and short, third and short, you run the football. You know, and that's kind of, you know, it's a different way of approaching it than a lot of traditional play calling would look at it, where you said, oh, I'll throw it on. You know, I'll throw it on first, or I'll run on first down, throw on second down, you know, whatever. I mean, you look at the sequences and we, you know, it can play out different ways, but they've really been a team that has actually been pretty pass heavy on first downs when, you know, it's a close game, you know, first half, look at it especially. And again, that's an analytics minded approach to offense in 2023. So I mean, look at the halftime stats. It's crazy to think because this team finished with what, 250 rushing yards, but at halftime, Lamar was 11 of 16 for 134 yards. They had run as a team 12 times for 47 yards, with Lamar accounting for 30 of those yards. So they got next to nothing from their schemed up running game in the first half, but they were able to get a lead because of some of the miscues that Jacksonville had, especially late in the first half. They had that 10-point lead, and they were able to lean into it. I mean, look at Lamar's second half stats. I mean, he only completed a couple passes. The big play that likely everyone will remember that, but go look at what Lamar's passing totals were in the second half. It was hardly anything other than that. That's not a knock on Lamar. It just speaks to how the game was able to play out. So the Ravens really, they threw to take a lead, and they ran to protect their lead. I mean, that's really how offensive football, that's kind of the philosophy across the board in 2023. Right or wrong, that's how teams typically approach it. But again, losing Mitchell, that home run potential, it's where you do have a little more concern to say, okay, is this going to have to be Lamar running a little bit more than you were envisioning the rest of the way? Because just not getting a lot of explosiveness from Gus Edwards. I mean, maybe Justice Hill can do it. And we've seen, again, Justice Hill has some speed. It's not as though he can't make some people miss, but certainly hasn't done it at a level that Keaton Mitchell has in this at this early stage of his career. Melvin Gordon, we'll see. We'll see if they add someone. I saw some fans already talking about bringing back Kenyon Drake, although he's on the Packers practice squad at the moment. But it stinks. It really doesn't. And again, I feel for the kid as much as anything, because he was such a good story, and the talent, I mean, he's been starting for them, and not that Gus Edwards has been phased out, but we've seen Keaton Mitchell starting games. We've seen him get the first crack. We've certainly seen him be the biggest home run hitter that they've had other than Lamar as a runner. So
What also speaks to him being better in pass protection, the fact that he was out there, right? Just in a general sense that he has improved as a football player. He has earned their confidence in all aspects of the game, not just, hey kid, you're fast, go run the ball. Don't get our quarterback killed.
well, that was still a work in progress, but we have seen that more of late. But that's really the biggest reason why you have seen Justice Hill on the field, because I've gotten that question quite a bit, in recent weeks. Well, why is Justice Hill out there so much? Why isn't it more Keaton Mitchell? It's
That
been
means they
pass
want to
protection.
pass.
It's been pass protection. Now, again, Mitchell, we were seeing more of the last couple of weeks. And if you go back and look, some good reps and some reps where you say, okay, he's an undersized, undrafted rookie. That's a lot to ask of a kid. In pass protection as a rookie, when he's not just not very big. Now, Justice Hill's not very big either, but that was part of it. But again, upside potential. Thinking about where this team is, not at just in week 15, but where they're going to be in week 17, where they're going to be in the divisional round, where they're going to be in the AFC Championship, you're hoping, or the Super Bowl. I mean, that's part of it. So when you lose someone like that, again, it puts a damper on it. Not impossible. I mean, there's one guy this team could lose right now, and the season's over for all intents and purposes in terms of a Super Bowl. It's Lamar Jackson. We saw that firsthand here in Baltimore the last couple of years. So, but yeah, when you've lost Mark Andrews already, even though likely he's done an amazing job as an understudy, I mean, he has stepped up better than I think even his biggest proponents had anticipated. I mean, this kid can play. There's no doubt about it. You were able to make that up, and you were feeling better and better about not having Mark Andrews. Not, I mean, you'd love to have him, but you were feeling better about that absence with the way it likely has played. Now it's a case of, okay, can you get enough consistent production out of the rest of that running back position down the stretch here? And I do have some questions about that. And like I said, you hope it's not going to have to fall on Lamar Jackson to run a little bit more, but he's also still their best runner, and especially now without Mitchell on the field. So it was probably inevitable that Lamar is probably going to run more the rest of the way, because come January, you're going to do whatever you have to do to win games. But it's definitely a bummer, and it's something that, hey, it's injuries. Look around the league. Look at the quarterbacks that are playing around the league, even on playoff contenders, mind you. So the Ravens, in that regard, they can't say woe is me too much. Certainly they're in better position health-wise than they were last year, or certainly the year before that. But It's definitely a bummer to lose Keaton Mitchell. There's no doubt.
Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills all week, getting ready for Santa to bring all the fun here this week. It's certainly a lot of football being played all day, every day, leading up to the last game, which will be Christmas night on the Ravens out in Santa Clara taking on the 49ers. We'll have a chance to talk a little bit more about them and about McCaffrey and about Brock Purdy. We talked about them a little bit, but on this offense and on the offensive line, if Ronnie Stanley's a guy they can't even put out there 20 snaps a game, or, you know, if he's just not right enough that you're better off, to your point, starting a healthy McCary, boy, the depth of the offensive line. I mean, I saw Zeitler go down for a minute, you know, early in the game, and I start to think to myself, there's nothing that would screw this up more. I mean, they've already lost a running back. They've already lost a key tight end, and likely they may have, certainly from a stat production on Sunday night, replaced Mark Andrews, right? I don't know where the Keaton Mitchell thing will be because they don't have anybody with that skill set and that sort of speed. But the offensive line and keeping that as together as it can be at this point, that's where you have to cross your fingers and say they cannot have any more attrition at that position.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I'll say in response to that is that's the league, though. I mean, you're not going to find offensive lines anywhere in the NFL that has really high quality depth. I think the Ravens are on the higher end of that just because they have Patrick McCary, because they have a Sam Mustipher that you could plug in as they did earlier in the year for Tyler Linderbaum, because you have, you know, Falele to a lesser extent. I mean, certainly I think the confidence level is higher in McCary at this point because he's played more. But I mean, that's just the league. I mean, the reality is, and look, your concerns are well-founded and justified when you're talking about feeling compelled to rotate your offensive tackles because of health and or performance concerns related to health at this point. But you look at where they still rank with, and offensive line play is subjective. We understand that. So PFF's not the gospel. ESPN's pass blocking and run blocking win rate and all the different metrics that are out there to try to measure those things, they're not, any single measure isn't gospel, but this is an offensive line that's very highly regarded, but it is concerning when you're talking about the health of Ronnie Stanley, when you're talking about the health of Morgan Moses. You know, to your point, Zeitler went down, didn't miss a snap, but I saw the same thing and your heart stops for a second, right? I mean, you're saying, oh, no, you can't lose a guy like that. I saw one play where Linderbaum was slow to get up, and he was just, I think it was just fatigue more than anything. I don't think he was hurt, but that's another one. Linderbaum, who's, you know, played at a Pro Bowl caliber level for the most part at the center position in his second season. But any team, even teams that feel really good about their offensive line play, it is so fleeting where you are literally an injury and certainly two injuries away from not feeling good about your offensive line at all. I mean, it's just, you hear it. We've heard, you know, you and I for years at Radio Row talking to different coaches and X's and O's football junkie types, where they just tell you that offensive line play is not as good as it used to be. And so much of it goes back to the college game and spread and, you know, guys just not being quite as NFL ready. But it's definitely a concern when, I mean, you're deliberately rotating your left tackle and your right tackle for health, performance, or both, doing that, it's unconventional. I mean, Joe D'Alessandris, their offensive line coach, according to John Harbaugh, he came up with this idea during the bye week, and they've done it with Stanley. I mean, last year they were rotating some with Stanley even, but the fact that you're doing that, it's where you look at this thing and say, okay, you have three games to go in the regular season. You're hoping you have more than one game in January. You know, you're hoping it's, you know, if they're the number one seed, three, you know, three games would mean they're playing in Las Vegas. So you're rotating now, we're not to Christmas yet, and you're hoping you have six games left, and maybe week 18, if you lock things up against the Dolphins and you don't have to play, you can sit out Morgan Moses and Ronnie Stanley and give them a couple weeks off if you want to do that. And people will debate that, whether it's wise to do that, obviously, but you know, there's still a long way to go for them and for this offensive line to hold up. You know,
well, less football is better for anybody over the age of 30. I mean, just at this point in the year, they know what they're doing. Giving Roquan Smith a week off against the Steelers, having Kyle Hamilton get right, having Marlon Humphrey. Right. I mean, just put bring back Bobby Rainey, for that game. But they have to win these two games. If they win these two games, it would really set up a double bye for them, time off for them, purple bunting all over the place, home cooking. I mean, it's all sitting there for them, but sitting in front of them are probably the two best teams left in the tournament, right? San Francisco's the best team on the other side. Miami's probably the best team in the AFC over the body of work. Maybe Buffalo would be that team now. Kansas City would be that team on any given day. But these are two January matchups in December that are going to, if they survive them, really kind of propel them into an easier pathway to get to a Super Bowl. Now, that being said, they come out and piss down their leg and they're down 13-0 early in a game against the Chiefs here because that's the way the draw goes and they wind up playing them. I'll hear all of that, but I want time off. I want victories the next 2 weeks. I want Pittsburgh to be meaningless. I want home field advantage. I want no more injuries. I want the injuries they have to heal up a little bit. And getting guys back, I guess that's the hardest part of this, right? Is you look at Ronnie Stanley and you say, he ain't going to be right. Now, Morgan Moses, maybe you could make a case the third week of January, he'll be a full, complete player at that point. You could certainly make that case for Kyle Hamilton coming back. I don't know where Marlon Humphrey is. I mean, I don't know that we're really going to see the old Marlon Humphrey. But from a physical standpoint, from a health standpoint, getting guys healthier so they're ready to play in that divisional game after the bye, because I'm going – that's where my head is going right now. Because if they don't earn the bye and they lose this week, somehow they lose to Miami, they got to play for their lives against Pittsburgh in order to maybe have a bye or to take a week off or to keep home games. I mean, the Browns have an easy schedule. I mean, there's some teams in the way. For me, the healthiest version that they can be the third week of January is so important when you're 11-3.
No doubt. That's why and it's funny because people listening right now are thinking back to 2019 and the fact that they rested starters in week 17 that year. And there was the sentiment that maybe you shouldn't, maybe it was too much time. The whole rest versus rust debate, which
every time I see Tony Dungy, he's the king of that, right? Because he dealt with it every single year with the Colts, right?
But I always felt that that was more of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, whatever you want it to be, it can be in that regard, but I'm with you. It's all about
go ask the Orioles.
Sure. It's all about trying to shorten your path, shorten your obstacles to getting to where you want to be. And by doing that, the best way to do that would be, yes, getting the number one seed, but even having a scenario where you can rest some guys in week 18. Now, if you don't go out and beat the 49ers on Monday night, which that's they're going to be an underdog for this game, as they should be playing on the road against a team that's widely regarded as the best team in the NFL if they aren't. So, that's reality. But if they don't win this game, then, it's going to be much more difficult to have that scenario where you can rest in week 18.
By the way, early lines, 4.5 to make you laugh. Ravens are 4.5-point dogs. I'll get you some action, huh?
That sounds about right to me.
They should lose on Monday night. Our eggnog should be curdled. They're supposed to lose.
Well, but I mean, anyone who's being dismissive of the 49ers, I mean, you haven't watched them play for the last five weeks. And look, let me be clear about this. I'm not going to be shocked if the Ravens go in and win Monday night. The Ravens are playing at an incredibly high level, but the 49ers have been, if you have the darkest purple colored glasses on right now, the 49ers have at least been their equal for the last 5 weeks in terms of, but I mean, they've blown teams out week after week after week. So, they have a front that's much more formidable overall than Jacksonville. And we saw the issues that Jacksonville presented, from a pass rush standpoint. So, it's going to be a heck of a challenge, but the good news is if you can win that thing, my goodness, then you are in a position where you could potentially lock it up, and we'll have to see how all the different scenarios play out. I mean, again, there are people screaming right now saying, take it one game at a time. And to which I say, I don't play. So we can look ahead. But they're going to have that. But I think what was still so important, and I'll leave you on this point, was taking care of business on Sunday night. It allowed the Ravens to maintain this little bit of wiggle room they've built. If they drop that game to the Jaguars on Sunday night, now you're talking with a much higher level of urgency to try to go out there and win in San Francisco. Now it's a case of, I look at this not as a game that they must win, but as a game that, boy, they have a heck of an opportunity here. If you want to do what you laid out, which is have a chance to maybe even be able to rest some guys in week 18 and lock this thing up in the next to last game against Miami, then you win on Monday night. You win on Christmas night. But they're now in a position where even if they don't, they still have everything in front of them that they can, you know, control their path to that number one seed over the last 2 weeks of the season. And what more can you ask for as you get to Christmas than that? I mean, this team can accomplish everything it wants to at this point. It's sitting right there for them, as our old friend Coach Billick used to say.
You ever played Santa Claus, Luke? I don't have the outfit. And I often thought, like, wouldn't it be fun to just walk around as Santa Claus and have people yell at you all day and say, hi, Santa, and whatnot? I get to do that on Monday at Wise Markets. I'm giving away the Unwrap the Cash free scratch-offs. People love these. Peppermint payout. They smell like gingerbread. The gingerbread smells like gingerbread. The O-Snaps. We had some winners last week at Far and Daughter, Curio Wellness. We were together with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Schock, one of my favorites, as well as Michael Bronfine and Wendy Bronfine from Curio, as well as Drew Westervelt from Hex. So that's a detergent, a locally designed, invented thing that gets the stink out of your stank. From your Planet Fitness and hot yoga clothing. That's all. You'll hear that this week. You're going to hear JT the Brick and I get together out in Vegas on Sirius XM talking the magic of Lamar Jackson. Also, tons of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour stuff here. So if you hear some stuff on AM 1570 this week, you're like, hey, that's from earlier this year. That's why we do the Crab Cake Tour. So the next 2 weeks, you're going to hear a lot of stuff, including some previews. Mike Silver's going to join us this week from the Bay Area to talk some San Francisco 49ers as well. Luke is going to be out in Owings Mills. Ravens get an extra day. This is the time where we all lose track. What day is it? Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, yeah, it's Christmas week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, eggnog, all this stuff going on. Next Wednesday after Christmas, dust off, put the ham away. Drink up the eggnog. Bring me some cookies. We're going to be down at Fadley's for the final time in the old Fadley's next Wednesday, the 27th. I got some great guests. Nobody does anything on December 27th. They're all sitting around eating leftovers. So come on down, have a crab cake, have some of that delicious mac and cheese. We'll be at Fadley's for the final time. I'll be releasing our guests for that. Tom Kelso is going to join us at Wise. Derek Frazier, former professional wrestler, as well as John Martin, who's the executive director of the Maryland Lottery, who gives us these lucky scratch-offs. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, reminding you, you buy two, you get two free, 0% financing. All this rain and cold and fog and all this stuff. I got great windows. Next step is going to be, it says doors on here. It says windows, siding, doors. I need to get some doors in 2024. 866-90-NATION, a way to do that. And my little orange light came on as I was driving over to Curio on Friday. I need to get my oil changed. Thank goodness for Jiffy Lube MultiCare. There was one right across the street from Curio Wellness, right on York Road. There's one in your neighborhood. I generally use the one on Merritt Boulevard in Dundalk. By the old Bradley's down near German Hill Road. They've been taking care of my car a long time at Jiffy Lube, so big appreciation to them. All right, I am plotting the biggest radio row initiative we've ever had beginning on February the 5th. I'm going to be telling folks about that for the next 6 weeks. I love when a plan comes together. So my sponsors don't even know what I'm doing. Luke doesn't even know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing, and you're going to know what I'm doing too. So keep the week of Super Bowl week open. And just in case you go to Vegas or you don't go to Vegas, because we're going to be doing some great stuff for Radio Row. He is Luke. You can find him at Baltimore Luke, out on Instagram, the interweb, X, Threads, Twitter, Facebook, whatever they're calling it. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Stay with us. We got plenty of Ravens ahead as the Ravens head to Santa Clara to take on the all-powerful 49ers.